In general, the great works of past believers are not written in a popular style. They spoke more clearly to past generations. One must want to work through them to arrive at the goal, and it is my intention to compel my fellow believers to want to do that work. Second, I write as a pastor, theologian, apologist who believes firmly that man is a singular whole. You cannot divide man's mind from his heart, his soul. I am passionate about theology, passionate about the faith. I honestly do not understand how anyone can say, "I believe the Bible is the Word of God," without being passionate about that confession. I love the Trinity, justification by faith, the resurrection, and sola scriptura. I do not pretend to be dispassionate about these things, and as such, I stand firmly on this assertion: Christian scholarship that lacks passion about the truth is not worthy of the name Christian to begin with. If dispassion and detachment are necessary attributes of scholarship, then I do not seek the appellation. I cannot comprehend dry faith, arid confession, or mere mental assent. A person who has only intellectual knowledge of the sufficiency of Scripture, but lacks a deep, abiding love of the Scriptures and an understanding of how their sufficiency is related to the gospel and to the assurance of salvation, is liable to be led astray by winsome words or the traditions of men. At the same time, a person who professes great zeal for the truth but does not honor the truth by growing in knowledge of it can be easily led astray. We need a balanced understanding of and love for the truth of sola scriptura. Divine truths command our undivided allegiance, and this love of divine truth is what I seek to encourage in your heart. On the Backs of Giants. I have always believed in sola scriptura, though the Latin phrase did not enter into my vocabulary until adulthood. When I first began responding to attacks made upon scripture by various religious groups, I did so out of instinctual respect for the Bible and a strong sense of loyalty to the Word. Even in my conservative Bible college, little was said about the doctrine. It was simply assumed. I was blissfully unaware of the tremendous effort that had been expended in the defense of Scripture's sufficiency by God's people in past generations. The Reformation, traditionally dated as beginning with the posting of Luther's 95 Theses on October 31, 1517, brought intense focus to the issue of scriptural sufficiency.